What I've learned in 60 years of life is that it's easy to start something, but it's much harder to finish. That starting things is actually really easy. But as a follower of Jesus, finishing things is biblical. And so we're absolutely called to start. We're absolutely called to take the step of faith. But what makes us unique is that we serve God who didn't just start things, he finished. And as we follow him, we're called to do the same thing. In fact, God's measurement of success could be boiled down to one word, and it's the word faithfulness. Are you going to be faithful with what I've asked you to do? I don't know about you, but faithfulness is easy to preach sometimes and hard to live. Noah, most Bible scholars believe, built this boat, built this ark for around 120 years. Can you imagine doing the exact same thing for 120 years? The only way you can do that is if your measurement of success is the same as God. It's the goal of my life to do exactly what God told me to do today. And tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm going to do that same thing. And the next day I'm going to wake up and I'm going to have that same goal. And the next day. And then one day you look up and you go, wow, God did so much. But it could all be traced back to the small steps of obedience. An article in the New York Times a few years ago was written about millennials and Gen Z entering into the workforce. And the point of this article was to display some research, some findings about what they were seeing, the trends they were observing. And the big takeaway was that the average Gen Z and millennial adult will hold 14 different full-time jobs by the age of 31. Very high number of jobs. Now, they weren't sharing this research because they were trying to be critical of Gen Z or millennials. They were basically just trying to say, unlike any other time in history, human beings are looking for the next best opportunity. If we can find something that pays better, we'll take it. If we can find something that leads to us having a better reputation, we'll take it. If we can find something that causes us to advance in our career, we'll take it. But as a follower of Jesus, we've got to be really careful that we don't approach following God in that way. Because God does not give opportunities, God gives assignments. And there's a big difference between an opportunity and an assignment. An opportunity might bring your name fame, but your assignment will bring God's name fame. An opportunity might build your brand, but an assignment will build God's kingdom. An opportunity is all about maybe pleasing yourself, but your assignment is about pleasing God and serving others. Today is not the day to give up your God-given assignment for a man-made opportunity. Because when we get to heaven, we're not going to hear, "Well done, my good and rich servant. Well done, my good and famous servant. Well done, my good and you are very successful servant." We're going to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Faithfulness is our goal as followers of Jesus. Faithfulness. One of my favorite scriptures is Galatians 6:9, and it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." What I love about that scripture is it gives us one job. Don't give up. Don't give up. If we don't give up on what God has asked us to do, it's God who does the heavy lifting. It's God who builds the boat. It's God who brings the harvest. Noah, how often do you do the same thing spiritually? Has God ever put you in a place that you believed he put you in, and when it was time to start, but as time passed and expectations didn't match reality, and all of a sudden you start to question if it was God that actually put you in that place, in that position? And all of a sudden you leave the place that God put you, not because God told you to go, but because it didn't happen the way that you thought it was going to happen. What if today we just re-upped with God and we said, "God, I'm realizing I don't need a position change. I need a perspective change. God, if you haven't told me to leave, I'm just going to keep building. God, if you haven't told me to stop, I'm just going to keep sowing. God, if you haven't told me to quit, I'm not going to quit, because you're going to bring a harvest if I keep showing up. I'm going to build a boat. I'm going to build a boat." I think what God is looking for are some people who maybe they're not the most talented, maybe they're not the most gifted, but their goal is the same goal as Noah. "I want to be faithful with God, what God's put in my hand." Now, humor me for a second. Let's say we want to turn some Bible stories into Netflix shows. Which ones would be the best? I think the story of Noah would be the best Netflix show from the Bible. Just picture the pilot episode, okay? Noah walks into the living room. I know this is ridiculous, but just go with me for a second. Noah walks into the living room. "Hey, babe," he's talking to his wife, "quit my job today." "Oh, why'd you do that, Noah?" "I'm going to build a boat." Now, all the married people, let's just imagine that went great, okay? Went great. What about like year five? Like, what about when Noah said, "I'm going to build a boat"? Like, what if his wife was like, is it going to be a fishing boat? Is that how we're going to pay the bills?" And Noah's like, "I think more Carnival cruise ship." What about year 10 of that? "Noah, you know those dinner parties we used to get invited to with the neighbors, with the tea and the crumpets?" We just made it a British Netflix show. "We don't get invited to those parties anymore because everybody thinks we're crazy. Because for 10 years we've been doing something that doesn't make sense to anybody but us and the Lord. And for 10 years, we're just building the boat." What about year 20, year 30, year 40? Something that struck me was nobody was celebrating Noah's faithfulness. There was nobody posting about Noah on social media. There was no news outlet that was saying, "Wow, look at what Noah's building." Which says to me, if I need someone to notice my faithfulness besides the Lord, I'm probably not going to end faithful. 40 years, Noah's got to keep building the boat. What about year 50, year 60, year 70, year 80? Just imagine the people in the town that watched as Noah did this. "Noah, you crazy old man. You've been doing this for 80, 90, 100 years. Your kids are grown. Everybody else has passed you by. You had all this promise. For what?" And Noah's one hammer at a time, one nail at a time. Maybe you're like, "Is this guy about to try to sell me a boat? What's he talking about?" I'm talking about the thing that God has uniquely wired you to do, that he wants to use you for his glory and for the good of other people to do. And this is what I know about boats. I know this. One, every single person has a boat God wants to build through their life. And number two, the boat is much bigger than you think. Because God does not build mediocre boats. Because God does not give mediocre callings. And so if you can build the boat on your own, it's probably too small. Where are a couple of boats that maybe God's calling people? Maybe the boat God wants you to build is the boat of your marriage. It was easy on year 5 or 6. It was easy to go on date night. It was easy to put them first. But somewhere along the way, those things started to go away. The date night started going away. The quiet time started going away. And maybe God brought someone who's learning a ton about marriage and has no plans to write a marriage book to say, "Hey, today's the day to pick back up the hammer and build that boat." Maybe you're single, and the boat that God's calling you to build is the boat of your singleness. Because if you're honest, what you really want, maybe even more than God in this season, is a spouse. And maybe the boat God's calling you to build is the boat of your singleness. And going, "You know what, God? You're going to bring the right person at the right time. But until then, I'm putting you first. I'm going all in with my relationship with you." Can you imagine what God could do with your extra time, with your extra resources, if you just consecrated yourself to the Lord and said, "I'm going all in with Jesus. How do you want to use me?" Maybe the boat that God's calling you to build is the boat of the church. Maybe it's time to go from being a spectator of the church to being a builder of the church. "Hey, you know what? Instead of just coming, I'm going to ask how I can be a solution to a problem that we might have. I want to be a builder of God's kingdom on this earth. I want to build the boat." A great leader said one time that it wasn't that he was the best leader. He just tended to stick with problems longer than the person beside him. As followers of Jesus, I think that describes who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be people who stick with problems longer than the person beside us. Why? Because we serve a God who stuck with a problem longer than anybody else was willing to stick with. The Bible says, "While I was a sinner, Christ died for me." Which means it was not the version of me that was all polished. It was not the version of me that showed up to church on a Sunday morning. It was the me that nobody else wanted. It was the me that was ashamed and broken and helpless that Jesus Christ stuck with and walked to a cross and paid the penalty for my sins. And so now we get to do the same thing because we follow and serve that man who did it for us. I'm going to stick with problems. I'm going to keep building the boat, believing that God can do the miraculous through my life. This is what I know about the God we serve. That if you pick up the hammer and say, God, I'm going to build what you called me to build. It's not you who does the heavy lifting. It's not you who does the building. It's the Lord who builds the house. It's the Lord who builds the boat. Maybe you're going, I don't understand how it's going to happen. Exodus 14:14 says, you don't have to do anything. You just have to be still. It's the Lord who goes before you. Romans 8:38 says, if God is for me, who can be against me? Maybe you feel like you're too disqualified and too broken and too hurting. You've done too much. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin so that you and I could become right with God. God wants to build a boat through your life. And he doesn't use the best boat builders. He uses those who pick up the hammer and say, I'm going to keep building and believing that God's going to do it. What could God do through your life? I think the number one reason that we don't build the boat that God's asked us to build is it's really easy to turn our head to the left and turn our head to the right and look at the boats God's building in other people's lives. As followers of Jesus, success is not me compared to you. Success is me compared to what God has asked me to do. So what has God asked you to do? What's the boat that maybe you need to start building for the first time? What's the boat that maybe you need to pick back up the hammer and re-up to the Lord? I'm going to build it today. I'm going to re-up and say, God, I'm back in on what you've called me to do. I veered off a little bit, but I'm back in.